One.
Free Talk and your source for breaking local news. 930 WFMD.
Eight 11 on the Morning News Express. Morning Mayor Bob Miller, Chris Michaels as well, and the president of the Freddie County Council. His name is Brad Young, joining us right now. Councilman Young, I appreciate you joining us. Thank you, sir.
Good morning. You're quite welcome.
Let's talk a little bit. Let's first the elephant in the room, of course. Obviously, the county executive, Jessica Fitzwater, put out her proposed FY 2025 budget, operating capital budget. It's a daunting task to read, 428 pages, kind of go through it. Sure. But the big thing is the tax rate, and the tax rate, she is proposing to raise it to, I think, $1.11 per $100 of property. That hasn't been done in a very long time. And tell me, you know, were you surprised by it or not?
Well, no, you always have discussions through the budget process, and it was something that we were aware that she might propose. One of the big issues that she's facing and we're trying to deal with is the large amount of expenditures that are necessary to bring the older schools in Frederick County up to date, as well as deal with the capital needs for new seats from the extensive growth that they've had over the past 5 years. You know, we do have dedicated revenue sources, impact fees, and other things to help with new seats needed, but there's no dedicated income source for dealing with renovations. As you know, we have older high schools in our county, from our own hometown of Walkersville to Middletown to Catoctin to Brunswick, that's been fighting for a new high school, and many other schools that are in sore need of being updated, and also many other projects between HVAC and roofs and so forth that are there that the system just has not had the capital for. And so I think she's been trying to find a way to provide a revenue source to play some catch up with all that, and then also deal with the needs that we have for new seats from the growth.
Well, I mean, let's talk about that real quickly. I'm looking at a budget analysis, an Excel spreadsheet. Growth enrollment in Frederick County Public Schools is expected to be 894 next year. It was 1,100 this year, but in 2023, obviously during the pandemic year, it was only 118. But 894 seems to be a little bit lower number. Are we worried that we're going to try to get ahead of, you know, well, just I do know that some schools need to be upgraded, a bit lower number. Are we worried that we're going to try to get ahead of, you know, well, just I do know that some schools need to be upgraded, but are we going to get ahead of ourselves and just building schools for maybe anticipated growth?
Bill, I wish that were the case, and I wish you could put seats in place before people got there. We're looking at Oakdale down that area, where schools are already over 150% of capacity and still growing. We have other areas where in Frederick City, if you look at all the growth that's been approved in Frederick City, TJ, Frederick will be full. You go out on Route 40, in my term on the Board of Ed, we added Butterfly Ridge, and we also rebuilt Waverly, which added over 1,000 seats of capacity. They're all both headed back towards, all three, Butterfly Ridge, Waverly, and Hillcrest, are headed back over capacity, and there's still more growth coming in their area. So I don't think there's any way in the world that they're going to get ahead of that game. And you still look at all the approved growth down the area in the east end of the county. We did acquire a new site for a new high school number 11 down in that area. It'll probably be at least 10 years before that school is built. And that school, by the time it's built, will be in excess of $125, if not more, $1 million to build that new school. So there's just no way we're going to get ahead of that curve. The growth is already here and coming, and many of the schools are already overcrowded.
So I've been doing this job for, 30 years here at WFMD. I don't know how many years on the Morning News Express, but I remember when, and it might not be the same situation today, but they almost every school in the county was deemed overcrowded by just taking the classroom size and moving it from the arbitrary number is from 30 to 25, which then made every school overcrowded. Can we reverse that and say, okay, classroom size now is 30? Then would we still have overcrowding in schools or not?
We still would. There's two things that are going on here. One, the blueprint education that's demanding that we put pre-K in all schools. There's no way that we have the capacity just in space to do that in the number of classrooms. Mm-hmm. But already many of our classroom sizes have 30 and 40 students in them, and so adding more students just isn't going to be physically possible. How a building is used is part of the issue, and right now we've got pre-K kids that are in high schools trying to utilize the school system, trying to utilize all space that's available, but that space is also running out. So it's not a matter of that there's empty classrooms sitting around in these buildings. It's just the amount of kids and the growth that we've had. Yeah, again, you look out here at Walkersville with the new development that went next to the high school. Potentially, there could be another development that's here, but all Route 26, those developments there come into Walkersville. So any new growth in Walkersville is going to push Walkersville over the limit. And already the whole, if you go across Christopher's Crossing, Monocacy Boulevard, all the growth that you see there from Wren Quarter in the city out to across Christopher's Crossing heading toward Yellow Springs Pike. There's just so much growth that's coming in kids. You talk about all the new projects in the city from the new project that they're putting there where the bowling alley and the shopping center was to all the new buildings on East Street and Gashouse Pike and Wren Quarter and the Board of Education, the Frederick Brickworks site. Mm-hmm. I don't know where all the kids are going to go. Frankly, I don't know where all the people are coming from that are filling all these places, but they're coming.
Does Frederick County Council, are they able to, I know obviously we've put building moratoriums in place in the past. Is that something that maybe we're looking at? And my second part of that question is, does the council have any control over the growth in Frederick City? Because obviously if Frederick City runs willy-nilly with their growth, it does impact the schools without them having much concern or consideration towards the school system.
Right. And Frederick County is a unique place. We have 12 or 13 municipalities. You go down to Howard County, they don't have any municipalities. So when Howard County government makes a ruling, it applies to the whole county. We cannot restrict Frederick City, Brunswick, Walkersville, Middletown, any of the municipalities from building. And they don't have to have an adequate public facilities ordinance in place. And so all the growth over the last 5 years has either occurred within municipalities or has occurred within the county in things that have been approved previous to 10 years ago. In the last 10 years, the only new growth that any of the county councils have approved has been age-restricted, and so they don't produce kids. So this is all growth that's been approved either in the past or has happened in municipalities. Now, could theoretically the county council put on a moratorium? They could, but if you think about the developer who has gone through all the processes and invested millions of dollars in infrastructure, done all the permitting processes and gone through all the processes, and now they say, whoops, stop, now you can't go, I don't think that would be fair to them. So it's a tough situation where you have so much stuff that's already started, and stopping it at the 75-80% point would be tough and would not be fair to those folks. But the county has not approved any new housing outside of age-restricted in over 10 years.
We got to take a break. More with Brad Young, the Frederick County Council President, on the Morning News Express at Free Talk 930 WFMD.
First and best is Free Talk from Frederick. 930 FMD.
Morning News Express. Let's get right back to it. A conversation with the council president, Freddie County Council President Brad Young, who also used to be the Board of Education president for many years. So one of the questions that people are asking, and I, you know, kind of figure the same thing as well, is how much money does the city pay to the county for growth, for education? How much money do they kind of earmark for education? Because people are saying, well, if they're the problem for the growth, then they should be responsible for the growth and the money towards it. Just charge them $20 million a year.
Well, the answer is so far nothing. Now, they do have some mitigation fees that they collected. They did have in place a fee that they collected. They've not remitted it to the Board of Ed. I know the Board of Ed and the county are working towards trying to find a project where they can use that. I believe it's $8 or $9 million. But we cannot require them. The school system is a responsibility of the county. And so we can't say we're going to charge Frederick City or Brunswick or whatever municipality for that growth. So unfortunately, they can approve it without us having to be able to collect funds for it and have that responsibility.
How does that change? If it does change, can't you? There's no way to change. I don't know, the charter, the state. I mean, it's ridiculous if the city is, or any other municipality, is increasing the footprint of the Board of Education or the schools in Frederick County. They should have a little a little say in the game. They have a little skin in the game, is what I meant to say.
Yeah, my understanding is it would have to be changed in the Maryland Constitution, which will not happen. And again, Maryland is so unique. You have counties like Howard that has no municipalities and a county like ours that has many. And so each county is different, and that's unique and permissible under state constitution. So my understanding is it would take a constitutional change to do that to the Maryland Constitution.
So another thing, the property tax, and you mentioned it's going to, looks like it's going to be earmarked at least maybe towards education. Does the council have the ability, because we all know what happens with money.
Yeah.
Sometimes it gets into the coffers and it goes elsewhere. Can the council say, look, this money has to go to into education, into building projects for schools for X amount of years?
My understanding is that we do have that ability, and I will certainly confirm that before considering it. But yes, that we would be able to put the guardrails that this could only be used to deal with those construction needs, and if we got caught up, that it could be taken away or sunsetted at some point. So yes, we do have the ability of keeping it within there. My understanding is that what you're talking about is, like, on an average $300,000 house, it's about $200 a year. So a $600,000 house, it would be about an additional $400 a year is what the additional 5 cents would cost.
Well, look, even though, and again, the county executive, Jessica Fitzwater, said it a couple weeks ago, the governor said it a couple weeks ago, everybody is looking to raise taxes on us because, well, we're just not getting the revenue stream. You want to know why you're not getting the revenue stream? Because you're starting to raise taxes on everything, and people are starting to find other places to go live, even though Frederick County is one of the fastest growing counties in the state of Maryland. If we're that growing that fast, why do we need to raise property taxes? The revenues should be there already.
Yeah, and I heard some of this. I was listening to the show yesterday talking about that. Unfortunately, residential growth takes a long time to pay for itself because immediately you get those folks that are on the road. They need fire service. They need school service. They need park service. So when you build a residence, it takes a while before that money catches up. As an example, in the school system, when they get new students, they don't get the funding for those students to a year lagging. And I know this year, for instance, the school system has substantial increases, inflationary increases that they have to pick up in the cost of bus fuel and the cost of the energy for the schools and supplies. And those numbers have gone up substantially. And so just those inflationary costs. Now, the other side of the school system, and you're well aware, a few years back, the DOJ report that was there, the amount that they are spending and required to spend on special education has skyrocketed as well. And so providing those additional services, much of what...
930 WFMB.
All right. 841 at WFMB. Back to our conversation with the council president, Brad Young. So I read, I don't want to keep talking about, you know, Board of Education or school funding or things of that nature. I think Jessica Fitzwater and I think the former county executive, Jan Gardner, has given more money to schools than we really need to. I'm not, and that's just my opinion, and it looks like we're going to give more and more. They raise property taxes for it as well. I don't know how much is enough. Obviously, the Board of Education already said that it's, you know, I think the president is like, it's a gut punch that they didn't get everything they asked for. And nobody ever gets everything they ask for when it comes to the budget. So, I, you know, do you have a number? Because you were on the Board of Education. Do you have a number that would be enough for education in Frederick County in your head?
Well, again, I don't have an exact number, but what I can tell you is that every year when the budget is crafted, there are many things that the school system would like to have to help students and help staff that are not included in that budget. So even in the budget that the Board of Ed submitted this year, it did not include a lot of the things that they would have liked to include in there. The problem that we have, Bob, is we still have the commitment through the Maryland State Blueprint that our starting teaching pay has to get to $60,000 by 2025. Washington County and Carroll County are already there. So we're losing potential new teachers to other counties where the cost of living is less. And so it's an issue that, you know, they have in attracting, and the county has it as well. We have an issue attracting bus drivers and employees and workers. And so this budget that the county executive put forth does have a 5% pay raise for county employees. I think it's going to be tough, given the amount of money that's being allocated to the school system this year, for them to give any kind of raise to their employees, because the majority of the new money is going to go strictly to inflationary needs and growth needs that they have, as well as those special education needs that I talked about. So I think it's going to be very tough. I'm glad I'm not sitting on the BOE side this year, because they're going to have some tough decisions to make as far as how they allocate the funds they are getting.
One of the things that the council can do is take away funding for certain projects. They can't add on certain projects. But I read in the budget that if you are to take away 1% of the total budget, it's just 1%, that it would have to go back to public hearings on this. That doesn't seem like a whole lot of money, 1%.
It's not. I mean, first off, to let the public know, our public hearing on the budget is next Tuesday at 7 p.m. at Winchester Hall. So if you want to come give comment on it, you can do it there. You also can always send an email to the council, and the council members will read that and take that into consideration. But if you want to give live comment, you can give comment on it. You can do it there. You also can always send an email to the council, and the council members will read that and take that into consideration. But if you want to give live comment, you can do that. The following week, we will have the majority of the departments before the county council to talk about what their needs are as far as the appeals that are in this budget. And you're talking about inflation. I'll give you one budget number out of the Sheriff's Department, line 30, increase in funding for food and kitchen supplies due to inflation and increase in the inmate population, $586,000. And so that's something that's there. The other thing, obviously, the firefighters ratified new contracts, which we had that are there, and the new positions. They're adding new positions to Wolfsville. Just the additional six firefighter positions that are in the budget is another $659,000, which includes a captain, a technician, and the full-time staffing there, or the staffing at the Wolfsville Fire Station. So these are all things. A lot of things that are in here are public safety, the education. So inflation has had an impact, just as it has on the individuals, and I hear you talk about it every day. It's had that same impact on county government and the school system. The things they're buying have gone up substantially.
Well, I mean, yes, and I agree. One is, you know, I go back to the fire department, and God bless them, and I love all the hard work they do, but it used to be run by volunteers, and now it's all going to be paid positions. So that's money that we didn't have to do 20 years ago, 25 years ago, and And I mean, I obviously understand.
It's still not all pay positions. We still have a very robust volunteer system, and you know, here in the Ville, we have a great one. And I went Monday night to the county awards for the volunteer firefighters, and there's still a very robust volunteer system, but it's getting harder and harder for some of these companies to replace folks as they age out. And part of the reason that some of the communities have to go towards having full-time is they're not able to staff. And we have a timing that when somebody makes a call on how fast somebody needs to get there, and when they start to not make that, that's when they have to start looking at putting professionals in, which do cost a lot more money. Our volunteer system has saved hundreds of millions of dollars over the years in what we save in staffing and the equipment. You know, in Walkersville, we have the bling out here with all the Quint and all the nice trucks that we have there that our community has stepped up and supported through making donations, through supporting the carnival that we have every year. I hope that that never goes away, but the facts and the realities are that a lot of communities are having a tougher time attracting younger people to become volunteer firefighters, either because of their schedules working down the road, or people just don't want to get involved anymore. And so that's going to be an issue. I hope we don't ever lose our volunteer system. I will always be a strong supporter of that. But there are communities where it's getting challenging.
All right. If you had to circle a priority, I know obviously you were on the Board of Education, so we talked a lot about that, but what other priorities? I see that she wants to start spending money on green vehicles and electric vehicles, and that takes charging stations, and that takes electricity. I don't know if the cost benefit is there. Obviously, we see it all the time where these electric vehicle companies are stopping making them because they're just not something that the consumer wants, but it seems like governments all over the place want them.
Well, my number one priority is and always will be education, but public safety is also very important, making sure that our sheriff's department and our fire departments are adequately funded to be able to handle the needs that are there. It's interesting. I was reading the 50 years ago today in the News Post, and there was a post that 50 years ago is when the county made the decision to go open space in all these schools and take the walls down, which we've been dealing with ever since. And, you know, Middletown's a great example. Their school has that, and there's no safe spaces today for students when you have that kind of scenario. So we still have a lot of these older open space schools that need to be rebuilt from that decision that was made back in the 1970s. But you're just trying to keep up with the needs to make sure that we have the proper roads, to make sure that people have parks that they can go to. I think we have a great park system in Frederick County, but when it comes down to our number one priorities, we have to make sure the kids are educated, and so education will always be my number one priority.
Brad Young, we appreciate your time. We got to go. Thank you so much. Hopefully we'll do this more often. It's 8:49.
Yes,
absolutely. 8:49 at WFMD. Huh.